attention to Luke, the third chapter. Have you ever noticed that when children are small, it seems like if they're really enjoying themselves, they just have to scream? You know?
Ah!
We get in a gymnasium for any kind of fellowship, and screaming is so much more fun there because there's echoing going on and you can run at the same time. Of course, that's only for children. When you get older, you have to be sophisticated and you have to be quiet and reserved. There's a proper protocol for adults. I don't know where it's written, but I'm sure it's written someplace. I came out of a church that bowed their heads and folded their hands and shut up. So did my wife, and so did many of you. There wasn't a freedom. This morning, the first song was Shout Unto God with the Voice of Triumph. Hallelujah. And there's something that frees us with a shout, with a voice, that just waving your hand isn't going to do. There's something that happens. There is a power in a voice. Amen. Luke chapter 3 in verse number 4, it says, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. There's a voice that's crying in the wilderness. Amen. This whole world is a wilderness, folks.
Yes.
Amen. And we can't just limit the voice of triumph in the house of God. It needs to get out into the wilderness. Amen. Would you turn to Revelation 22 and 16? I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Amen. And then one more, Acts, the fourth chapter. In verse number 16, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. So here's religion, the Pharisees saying, what are we going to do with these people? You know, we can't deny that there is a miracle going on, so what do we do, you know? We witness to people, and they don't like sometimes what we say, but one thing they can't do is they can't deny that something great has happened in our life. They can't deny the stage 4 cancer that's been healed, or the heart attack, or somebody who's been brought back from the dead. And we've had all of these things happen in the church, verse 17. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightway threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye? For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I know you don't want us to open our mouths anymore. I know it's irritating a whole bunch of religious people. I know it irritates your relatives, but listen, I can't hold my peace. I gotta tell people what's going on in my life. I gotta tell them about the miracles, the things that we have seen and the things that we have heard. Jesus, God bless the Word of God. and bless every individual that's here, God. Give us a boldness in order to open our mouths. And we'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Could you turn one more to Scripture, Mark, the 10th chapter? Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, arise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And the blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now, I've preached on this scripture perhaps dozens of times. I think it's one of the greatest of the illustrations in the Bible. But God quickened something in it that I had never seen yesterday. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was coming, he didn't just say, "Oh, Jesus, over here. Could you?" I hope somebody gets his attention so he could come over to me, because I have a real need here. No, the word "cry" in the Greek was to scream or shriek to get somebody's attention. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." It reached the ears of Jesus, but it reached the heart of Jesus. He wasn't just here to see a program. He wasn't just curious about Jesus Christ, but he heard that this was a man of miracles, and now is my opportunity to get something that I know nobody else can give me. He was desperate to get the attention of God. And the more the crowd tried to silence Bartimaeus, the louder he screamed, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." You want to get the attention of God? You've got a need. I know how you can get his attention. It seems like the crowd is always trying to silence those that want to cry out to God. You're just too radical. Where is your decorum? Where is your sense of decency? Listen, responsibility and protocol and correctness went out the window when I was diagnosed with cancer. It all took a back seat when my marriage started to fall apart. It all took a back seat when I saw that perhaps I'm going to lose everything I have. When my kids seemed to be whacked out and there's no way of reaching them, I'll tell you what, decorum and protocol and decency said, "No, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I need the attention of God this morning." You go ahead and fold your hands and bow your head. That's fine. I'm going to start screaming for God. I want to get the attention of God. forget all of the religious formalities, forget about what the Pharisees do. I just know that there's someone who has walked in here this morning who can do what no man can do. After Jesus healed Bartimaeus, I wonder how many times he screamed out way beyond protocol to tell other people what happened to him. You know, when we get the Holy Ghost, there's a built-in scream. There's something in us that says, I gotta tell somebody about the goodness of God and the miracle that he performed. I can imagine they couldn't shut him up. He told everyone of how he was blind, but now he can see. Do you think that there's some lesson in this thing for you and I that we need to not just be content with what happened to us, but we have to reach out in the wilderness, a cry in the wilderness to tell somebody of the goodness of God. You see, religion and the world wants to silence our voice. After all, what will people think? What will people think if we become so radical at work or with our family or friends? No, more importantly, the question is, what will God think? You see, each of us have a unique testimony of what God has done for us. We were blind spiritually, and one day God opened our eyes to all of God's truth, and the reason we are saved is because we came out of a say-nothing, do-nothing crowd to somebody who feels obligated to interact with God, to show him our emotions, the emotions that he created us with. We got excited about Jesus coming towards us. Jeremiah 29 and 13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Every one of us, if we know anything about God, if we've ever had a demonstration, a manifestation of God in our lives, is because we pulled out the stops and said, God, I need you. You know, there are so many people who have the wrong idea that, well, if God wants to heal me, if God wants to help me, if God wants to deliver me, well, he'll just do it. Well, no. He's looking for someone like blind Bartimaeus or the woman with the issue of blood or somebody who got excited about God. Half-hearted people will never get what they need from God. God is here this morning for some desperate people. Not for tomorrow, not for next Sunday, not for the day we have revival. No, today is a day of salvation. It's also the day of healing and deliverance. Amen. Willing to tear off a roof when nobody else is willing to tear off a roof. And God will say, when I saw their faith. Right. Now here's the problem. God wants us to scream it from the rooftop. And this world wants to shut us up. Don't tell me about your church. Don't tell me about your God. I don't want to hear it anymore. It's fine for you. You need it. And we get to the place where we're confronted, we're embarrassed, we're sometimes just afraid to open our mouth. They want to silence us, to hide in our church. And that's the deal. We sometimes are just hiding in our church. We make all of the noise here, but we don't make any noise out there. This is not a hiding place. This is a place to get regenerated and charged up so we can do a little screaming out there where there really is some freedom to run and shout. Hallelujah. When Paul was giving his testimony to King Agrippa, he said this, "For the king knoweth of these things before whom I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner." I am so glad that we just don't hide in our churches with our little doctrine and we have our little parties every once in a while and nobody knows what we're all about. We do not go on the job. We do not go to the family gatherings incognito. Say nothing, do nothing. We're just like you. We're not, you see. Everybody heard about Acts 2 and 38, King Agrippa, Felix. They knew. You couldn't silence the early church. Everywhere they went, they had their mouth open. And you know what? The persecution came, but that's where the revival was. Amen. You know what? Early in this church, I would get telephone calls from irate parents and spouses saying, "What are you doing in that church? What's wrong with you?" I don't get those anymore. I need to get more of those telephone calls saying, "What's your problem here?" Even Pilate, when he was about to judge Jesus, already knew about Jesus. Hallelujah. Pilate, turn with me to John, the 18th chapter. I promise we'll have a better message tonight. John 18. And verse 33, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Question mark. Jesus answered him, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others?" Did others tell it thee of me? You hear it from one of those radicals. You know, it was Jesus being a little proud of the people who spread this, that he was the King of the Jews. When Paul testifies, he says several times, "And I heard a voice from heaven." He heard God's voice. It was God's voice that saved him. The question is, will God hear our voice of witness? The only way they could stop Paul's voice was to cut off his head. They were so irritated by what he was saying. Would you turn to Mark, the 6th chapter? If during this preaching at any time you agree with something that I've said, if you could say amen or drop dead pastor or something, you know. I'm glad that was the preference. Amen. Mark 6 and 21. "And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estate of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, What shall I ask? And she said, The head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for their sake which sat with him, he would not reject her." You know, he was worried about his image with other people, even though he felt this is not right. "And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb." So we are an irritation to Those who just don't want to hear a cry in the wilderness, just leave me alone, I don't want to be disturbed. They want to silence our voice as they silenced John the Baptist. John the Baptist, like all of us, had made some enemies because of preaching the word of God, talking about the goodness of God. Now, they didn't want his possessions, which probably were very meager. They didn't want his social connections, were probably very few. What they wanted, what his enemies wanted, was John's tongue, or to keep him silent. The enemy of our soul wanted one thing, the same thing that the enemy of the soul always wants. He wants to silence each and every one of us. He wants to keep our mouth. You know what? Just go to your little hiding place at 3045 Airline Road. Just go to that little hiding place and make all your noise, but don't make that kind of noise outside here. Would you go to Mark chapter 1? Verse number 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all of the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel hair and with a girdle of skins about his loin, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preach, saying, "There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latcheth, of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." So he was the forerunner of Christ to make straight the way, prepare the way, if you will, to one who is mightier than I. And we are the John Baptists of today, that we are the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, to let everybody know he's coming. He's coming soon. Before John the Baptist was born, God's angel Gabriel told the aged priest Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth that they're going to have a child. They hardly could believe that they were going to have a child. Zacharias expressed doubt, so you know what God did? He said, "Okay, I'm going to shut your mouth. You're not going to be able to speak a word because you just don't believe what I have said." You know, folks, if we don't believe what God says in the book, we're not going to open our mouth. Hallelujah. He could not speak a word until after John was born. And then when he said his name will be John, God opened his mouth and he could talk. My first Bible study, I taught neighbors a Bible study, and Angie Reinhardt was one of our neighbors. We had been friends, and we just shared this thing as soon as we recognized the truth and validity of what God was doing, and she brought her whole family over to the Bible study once a week for 10 weeks. And at the end of the Bible study, she said, "That will never happen to me. But I can see the validity of getting baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. I can't refute it. It's the only baptism in the entire Bible. And it is for a purpose of washing away my sins." So she came to the church on a Wednesday night intending just to be baptized. And the service is over. She knelt right next to her pew, just raised her hands to thank God that she had the knowledge of the baptism in Jesus' name, and God filled her with the Holy Ghost. And so she's speaking in tongues, and there's people all around her, and then finally she gets up and she sits in her pew, and I walk over to her and I says, "Angie, What happened to you? You know, kind of digging in a little bit, you know. And she opened her mouth and she couldn't say anything but tongues. She could not. She tried, I don't know how many times, to somehow formulate English words in her mouth, but every time she opened her mouth, out came these glorious words that she had never learned before. And so she got her purse and took out a pad and pencil and said, I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. And then right below it, she wrote, what am I going to tell my husband? And I imagine taking her home, saying, here's your wife. She came to church, but now she can't speak English anymore. But she was baptized, and as soon as she came out of the water, she could not only speak in another language, but she could speak in her regular language. Hallelujah. When the unnamed child was 8 years old, they thought for sure that Zacharias was going to name him after himself, which is common. But when he said, no, God told me, he wrote it out. He wrote it out. His name shall be John. And immediately his tongue was released. And that's what happens as soon as we get a new name. The name of the Father, our Jesus. Then all of a sudden, we have this desire to tell somebody else about the goodness of God. God told his parents that John was not to touch wine or any strong drink. He would be the voice of God, but not the voice of the temple. We don't do that much witnessing in here. We don't just come to tell the stories among ourselves. We are not the keeper of the aquarium. We are fishers of men. His voice would be reserved for the dry places, and the same is true for the church. Our voice is reserved for the dry places. But God sends us to dry places like, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, not for the church, but for the dry places, that people would have an understanding. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. We're talking about the Spirit. We're talking about life here, folks. At the age of 30, God called John to prepare the way of the Lord. He fulfilled the words of Isaiah, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. God is a voice. He was a voice before he was anything. The oldest description of God is a voice. He spoke the worlds into existence. There is a power that is in our voice. He speaks and life comes forth. He speaks and people are healed and formed. It was a type and shadow of what we are to do every day, for good or for bad. A man's voice is powerful. With words we hurt or we heal. With words we discourage or encourage. With words we wound or we heal. And with words we condemn or we worship. We can change lives with our voice in the wilderness. My life has been changed because someone spoke words into my life, and the same is true for yours. Herodias' daughter danced before the king, pleased her father, the king, and the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it. So she consulted with her mother, and they decided that it would be the head of John the Baptist. You see, Herodias was once married to Herod's brother, but he died, and they were both divorced, and she was also the niece of Herod, and it was an unlawful marriage, and John the Baptist pointed that out. And a lot of people don't want you to point out the defects in their life. And we don't necessarily have to do that, but the Holy Ghost can with an anesthetic, you see. But they need to know that we stand for righteousness. I don't approve of that. People in sin don't invite the preacher over for dinner. I know that for a fact. Many people have discovered that it's easier to kill the messenger than it is the message. You know, I don't like that guy. And I don't know. I think they do. It's just that they have a hard time expressing themselves, you know. I think it's the message rather than me in particular, because I'm a very nice guy. But the message isn't always received. The voice of John the Baptist was silenced. And there was power in the voice of John, a voice crying in the wilderness, "The enemy wants your voice. He doesn't care about your possessions. He doesn't care about a whole lot of things that you possess, but he wants to silence you. Doesn't care if we use our voice, just don't proclaim the gospel with it, or to preach deliverance to the captive or set at liberty those that are bruised." He's worried about what we're going to do with our voice. Amen. Hallelujah. Telephones was a bad idea. Bad idea. Bad invention. Internet, bad invention. Facebook, bad. Could you say bad inventions, you know? Because you can do it anonymously. You can say things and proclaim things and use your voice and type. But you know what? God wants us to use our voice in order to bring life to people who are dying. He doesn't care if we speak unless we speak of Jesus. He doesn't care if we talk as long as we talk trash. But the day we start crying out to God, the day we start telling others about God, the day we declare the miracles and working of God to other people, that's the day that the enemy tries to strike us, create laryngitis, cause us to be fearful not to open our mouth because we'll be rejected. We have to have enough confidence in God, not in our own personality. It doesn't matter if people reject us, because I don't want to be rejected by our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying there's got to be a voice. There has to be a forerunner. There has to be somebody who has enough confidence in God that you will open your mouth and see the miracles and see the results, that you believe that the seed is certified, that His seed, His word, will not return unto you void. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. There's power in the voice. Amen. All great men and women in the Bible were threatened to keep their mouth shut. They laid in trap for Daniel, but he said, "You know what? I'm not going to change my routine. I'm going to open the window so everybody hears me." And he prayed 3 times, and he knew that there could possibly be a problem with lions. And he prayed those 3 times because he would not be silenced. But what God did, according to the scripture, he clothed the mouth of the lions because of his innocency. You see, if you'll open your mouth, God will close the mouths of those who want to attack you. I'm convinced of it, absolutely. There was a little Jewish maiden that was taken captivity into Syria. She was taken away from her home. It was a devastating situation, but she didn't allow that to cause her to be bitter or rob God of his glory. And so she told her master Naaman of the prophet and of God who could heal him of leprosy. And it could have been a demise for her by speaking out against the gods of their land. Hallelujah. She had a voice. The 3 Hebrews walked into a furnace rather than to keep silent. Our voice won't be stopped because of a threat. The enemy doesn't want your possessions. He doesn't want your talents. He doesn't want your head, but he wants your voice to be stopped. The devil is pleased when you come to church but can't lift your head, can't lift your voice. He is pleased when you go to work but you can't talk to anybody about your God. He is happy when our enthusiasm is muzzled. He likes it when your tongue is set on fire of hell and we start to criticize others in the church and out of the church. A God-given voice to hurt those who God loves, it just doesn't make any kind of sense. But we have a voice to lift up his name. We have a voice to worship him. We have a voice that's going to give us victory. Would you turn to Romans, the 10th chapter? Romans chapter 10 and verse number 14. It says, how then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And the word preacher means a public crier. So, you know, if you want to relegate the responsibility of preaching the gospel or teaching the gospel to somebody who has a license, it's not true. It's all about public crying. And how shall they preach except they be sent? And as it is written, how beautiful or timely are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all of the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Amen. You know, I can tell you a dozen reports of somebody who had been witnessing to somebody at work or one of their friends, and the friend or the person at work never, ever responded, but there was somebody that heard it. And they were the ones who wanted. I've used this illustration over the years, and perhaps somebody in here hasn't heard it, but Sister Nona Freeman was driving down a very desolate area on the road, and God said, stop the car. No houses around, no buildings around. Stop the car. Told her, get out, stand by the side of the road, and preach a message that I'm going to give you right now. And she thought, you know, you reason. Am I preaching to the wind? Are there some trees that need to be saved? And so she preached what God gave her, and the unction left her, got back into her car, drove off. 10 years later, some guy came up to her at a conference and said, you don't know, but I was drunk laying in a culvert right under you. And I was to the point where I was so devastated that I was going to take my life. And you stopped the car. Only God could do that. And your voice touched me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, they'll never get saved. Well, why don't you open your mouth anyway? How can they hear unless somebody's speaking? When Peter and John had been beaten in prison, the church prayed for boldness. They prayed that they might be bold enough to speak what God would have them to say. Fear had gripped them, and they prayed, asking God to restore their voices. Soon after, Paul and Silas were beaten and found in prison. And they found the voice of praise. They sang at midnight, which brought an earthquake. Their voices brought power to a powerless situation because they asked God for boldness. You know what we ought to pray this morning? We ought to ask God, give me boldness. I've got information. I've got power within me, but would you give me boldness? Get me to the place where I am so restless that if I don't open my mouth, I don't know what will happen. Hallelujah. At the time we came into the church, I had an insurance agency, but we also had a retail business. It was selling grandfather clocks and wall clocks, and so Saturdays I was in the shop all the time with my wife, and every time somebody came in, I felt I got to talk to them about God. I just have to, you know. That first year, I think there were probably 50 people who came in to the church because it wasn't like, oh God, you got to tell me who needs this salvation. You know who needs it? Everybody. It's not a matter of, well, if the next person comes in with a blue shirt, I'll know for sure that you want me to talk to them about God. No, just look at them. They need God. Yes. Hallelujah. You know, I saw a little excerpt on the internet this morning. I guess there was some kind of concert, some rock concert, and there were so many people in the rock concert trying to get to the two people that were on the stage. They were pushing and shoving that the railing, a steel railing, collapsed, and 50 people went to the hospital because they wanted to get closer to those who were singing. Oh, that would happen in the house of God. Pastor, can't you just shut up so we can get to the altar? I want to get a little closer to God. You see, break the rules, break the barriers. Hallelujah. It's not enough just to get loud in church, folks. Someone here this morning needs to stir themselves and cry, I'm a voice. I'll not be beheaded. I won't be muzzled. I won't go another day without being a John the Baptist, a forerunner of Christ. Jesus had just one voice preceding his first coming, John the Baptist. But we all are his voice heralding his swift second coming. I don't know if you've seen the news, but the news, everything that's happening, all point to he's coming soon. If you'll turn to Matthew, the 11th chapter, we're coming to an end. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of a woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, this is kind of a conundrum. How can John the Baptist be the best person who has ever been born of a woman, and yet the least of the saints is greater than he? Why? Because John the Baptist did not receive salvation like we have. He was not baptized in Jesus' name or filled with the Holy Ghost the way we are. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh by force. For all of the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say that he hath the devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified in her children. What God is saying is, you know, we can sit in the marketplace. We have this truth. We can fellowship and we can have a great time knowing that we're on our way to heaven and we're so glad. But I'll tell you what, somebody's got to open their voice because you had a voice speak into your life. We are his children who need to talk about our Father, Jesus. Each blood-bought child of God here is greater than John the Baptist because within each of us is the power of living for God. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the reason he gave us his Spirit is that we might be witnesses unto the uttermost parts of the earth. God wants us to use our voice, lend our voice to his name, his cause, his passion, his purpose. After Herod's beheading John, and he and his wife must have thought about what they did. You know, you do something wrong and your conscience will follow you. Then they heard about Jesus traveling and preaching, repenting, asking people to repent because the kingdom of God was at hand. And Herod said this in Matthew 14 and 2, John surely has risen from the dead. They killed John, but there was a voice who was saying exactly the same thing, you know? We have past generations who espoused this truth, but there's still a voice in this generation. There are still people that if the Lord tarries and I'm gone and you're gone, that we will have a children that will be a voice to the next generation and the next generation. I believe the devil wished he had never moved on the cross and those people who said, crucify him, crucify him. And you know what? You can come and you can persecute us, but we're not going to stop talking. We're not going to stop telling. We're not going to stop giving information to those who need the information. Hallelujah. Amen. There's got to be a voice. Is it going to be your voice? Would you stand with me, please? Glory to God. Amen. I said on our Bible study this last week, I said, you know, there were so many people at a point in my life that started coming up to me and asking me, do I know God? Have you considered a Bible study? Would you like to go to this church? And I thought, is everybody in the whole world going crazy? But what happens is when God sees something in your heart, he starts sending people, but not just people to stand by you, not just people to give you a handout, but people that have a voice, his voice, his voice, and speak words into you. That's what we need to be, church. We need to be a voice unto this world. The altar's open. Would you come?